This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the New World Report, with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araujo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Gentlemen, the report, headline, Al Jazeera, U.S. moves to ease a few economic sanctions on Venezuela. The limited changes will allow Chevron Corporation to negotiate its license with the state-owned oil company. It goes on to say the limited changes will allow the Chevron to negotiate, but not to drill or export any petroleum Venezuela origin, according to two senior U.S. government officials. The officials spoke on the condition of anonymity because the formal announcement had not yet been made. Joseph, we've touched on this in the past. It is paradoxical. Venezuela is under sanctions for criminal activities, including, I'm told, the illegitimate president of Venezuela, Mr. Maduro, is under indictment for narco-terrorism in this country. And now we're talking about lifting sanctions around certain individuals around him, not Maduro himself, I believe, certain individuals around him, and allowing Chevron in some fashion to talk about its licensing of the state-owned oil company, which needs everything, I'm told, because it's in disrepair. The explanation for this so far is that the Biden administration is looking around for oil to make up for the shortages following the sanctions of Russia. How does the Maduro regime present this to its allies and its adversaries in the world, that though I'm under indictment for narco-terrorism, they're talking to me and they need me?
Oh, John, they're spinning this as a victory. If you watch the communication channels of the government, Venezuela, Maduro regime, or you watch their disinformation networks and social media, they're spinning this as a complete victory, that they triumphed over the United States, their resistance against the sanctions, and looking at that, not just the United States, but the rest of Latin America is ready to do business with Venezuela. I think this is the Biden administration's falling directly into that false narrative by the Maduro regime. I don't understand necessarily the policy that was made on the sanctions, because on one hand they say it's only a partial, it's a limited alleviation for Chevron and others to negotiate, but not to drill, which is confusing to me because these are oil companies and what they do is drill. So I'm sure this is just kind of a prelude to eventually lifting the rest of the sanctions. But I think this also in a roundabout way ends up legitimizing the regime in a direction that's going to inevitably work against what the Biden administration is trying to accomplish at the Summit of the Americas. Because if you're excluding Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, and I'd say rightfully so, because this is a summit of democracies, of countries that have been had a democratic process and have democratically elected leaders. But then on the back end, you're alleviating sanctions or doing negotiations or looking to provide different measures of appeasement. Then in essence, what you're doing is you're getting the worst of both worlds. You're actually legitimizing the regime on one end, but then you're isolating them on the other end, and pretty much nobody understands exactly what you're doing in the region. It becomes more divided and confused, and that's what we're seeing. So I think this is a failure in policy, and perhaps a failure in bigger picture thinking about what we want Latin America to look like in terms of U.S. interests and also in terms of a shared responsibility over the neighborhood.
Ernesto, you have to deal with contradictions like this all the time at a foreign ministry. I understand diplomacy is not about mathematics. It isn't 2 + 2 = 4. However, this is a puzzle. Can you help us understand the puzzle? How does this advance the interests of the rest of Latin America if the United States can sanction and indict and condemn and then turn around and make entreaties to the same people it is heretofore regarded as unacceptable? How do other countries hear this?
This is reckless surrender by the United States and by all those who want democracy, real democracy and security for the whole region. During my term as foreign minister, I worked very hard with the U.S. Then Trump administration and beginning of the Biden administration, but especially with Secretary Mike Pompeo, and other Latin American countries in order to put real pressure on Maduro. And I mean, it was taking more time than we would like, but it was driving more and more pressure on Maduro. And I mean, he had his hands tied about what he could do, not only internally, but also externally against other countries. But now, I mean, as you said, it's not mathematical, but so things sometimes work differently from what we expected. But what is going now is really giving up. It's like or throwing the towel and say, okay, the U.S. cannot influence any good change in Venezuela or the whole of Latin America towards democracy, security, and towards driving away terrorism, drug trafficking, and those things from Latin America. So this is awful news for all of us, for the whole hemisphere.
Joseph, I want to remind myself what I've learned about Venezuela. This isn't a single bad actor. For example, we could point to some countries that go off the rails because of a strong-minded and unhappy leader who becomes a criminal. This is a network, you've taught me, a network that involves major league adversaries, Tehran, Moscow, Havana. Have I left anybody out? Well, we could say that there's a hand in from Beijing. Certainly. The State Department knows this. Certainly the Biden administration knows this, that in talking or making concessions to Maduro, they're making concessions to the enemy they're now engaged in a war in Europe with. That would be Moscow. So where does this go, Joseph? Is anybody speculating about this? What can happen next if Maduro is restored to authority in some fashion? He represents Moscow in Latin America.
No, absolutely, John. He's one of Russia's most strategic allies. It's the recipient of the largest sales of armament in the region, and also one of the places where both Venezuela has used Russia and Russia has used Venezuela to evade sanctions. But I think what Ernesto was saying was spot on in the sense that really this is the Biden administration throwing in the towel. I mean, I don't think they have a response or a policy to deal with the Maduro regime or to learn from the policies of the past to figure out how they can improve upon those policies to look for freedom, to find a way to get freedom for the Venezuelan people and find a way to make the region less vulnerable from the threats that come from this regime inside Venezuela and all its international actors and allies. But for the lack of a policy or the lack of a strategy, appeasement rarely ever works, if at all. And that's what it looks like. It looks like the Biden administration is going to decide to appease the Maduro regime and maybe try to talk tough publicly or through different press conferences or maybe at the summit they will have some harsh rhetoric. But the actions don't follow up and there's not a lot of follow up on that. And what I'm worried about, John, is that the region is going to follow in suit. Already. Latin America is moving towards the left, and there's many countries that are way more sympathetic to the Maduro regime than when, for instance, when Ernesto was foreign minister in Brazil. But even countries that are allies of the United States, such as Ecuador or even Colombia, Paraguay, and others, maybe even they will start to open relations with Venezuela because they say, look, the United States is doing it. Why don't we do it as well? So we're setting a bad example, and we don't really have a good policy. And for lack of any good policy, it looks like the Biden administration is deciding just to give up on the region, which that's what really concerns me because who's going to pay for all of this is first the Latin Americans and then us because we're seeing what's happening on the U.S. southern border. And that's not because things are going great in the region.
There's also a suggestion that the Maduro regime is ready to or looking to or willing to open negotiations with the opposition that I believe is based in Mexico. It might also be in Miami. Is there anything to that in your measure, Joseph?
No, I mean the Maduro regime will go into negotiations with the opposition, what they call the Unity Platform, whenever it suits them. I mean, they control the deck in those negotiations. What happened in the last negotiations, they got major concessions out of the opposition and almost gave nothing to the opposition or to any sense of democracy or opening up the process inside Venezuela. And then they left the negotiation abruptly over a false claim because they said that one of their so-called negotiators wasn't allowed to be released from a prison in Florida because he's wanted for major counts of money laundering. I'm talking about Mr. Alex Saab. So they appointed Alex Saab, even though he was already under custody in Cape Verde, awaiting extradition to the United States, even though he was already in prison, they appointed him as a negotiator just so they can later have a way to copt out of the negotiations once they got what they needed from them.
I'm speaking to Joseph Omar, the executive director of Secure Free Societies in Washington, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. He's in North America with us. We're talking about the contradictions and the paradoxes of the New World Report. There are more ahead when we come back, Cuba. And then, if we can, a possible development that is not negative in Panama. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.